Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, after a busy couple of days taking the show on the road last week, Thursday, 9/11 Memorial Show from the Capitol in Helena, Friday live from the Military Alumni Reunion at the University of Montana, 50-yard line show from the top of Washington Grizzly Stadium. I know there's a lot of you out there who want to sound off. You want to be heard. You got a lot to say, so we definitely want to get to your phone calls here this morning. But I'll tell you what, Saturday ran into a great Montanan during that military appreciation game day on Saturday at the University of Montana. State Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls. He's, you know, a young man in the legislature, I think only 25 years old, but he first got his start in a big way in Montana politics thanks to Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. Representative Mitchell, an honor to have you on the show here on this Monday. Talk about your friend and really America's friend, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, no, I got to know Charlie for the first time back in 2018. I actually drove all the way from the Flathead here down to Billings. They had Don Jr. I want to say at the state GOP convention. It was around that time. And, I saw that Charlie Kirk was coming. I had seen Don Jr. speak before, but I saw that Charlie Kirk was on. It was kind of when he was first on the rise. And so it was the longest drive of my life at the time. I was 18, just out of high school, and drove all the way down to Billings to go see Charlie. And then about a month later, went down to my first Turning Point USA event, first time ever getting on a plane in my life, flew down to D.C., and I was just inspired by Charlie, by his message, by his organization. I want to say there was about 800 kids at the time that were at that event, and at the time, it was a record breaker for Turning Point. Then went down to another event later that winter. They usually do two a year, and then I got to know Charlie on a personal level in the spring of 2019, then became an ambassador for his organization, and just seeing how much the Charlie has risen and just became such a vocal voice for the youth in this country. His assassination is going to leave an everlasting mark in this country. And I think really it's going to start a revolution in a sense. I mean, just seeing the response from my generation and just people all across the world, it really shows the impact that this guy had, and we're definitely going to carry it on.
Yeah, well, that's so great to hear. I hope there's millions more Charlie Kirks, or at least folks trying to be as great as Charlie Kirk here in the aftermath here. Yeah, it's crazy. That's the first time you met Charlie Kirk, because I actually interviewed Donald Trump Jr., I think, during that same event. And my wife and I walk into the hotel room for the Don Jr. interview, and then she plops down on the couch because she looks to the left. There's Kimberly Guilfoyle, who was on the couch on the 5 at the time on Fox News, and there's Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk's on one side of the couch, Kimberly Guilfoyle's on the other, and so then Jessica just plops down on the couch right between the two of them. It's one of my favorite photos, and you could just see the optimistic smile on Charlie Kirk's face. And so, anyway, we're going to talk more with State Representative Braxton Mitchell, plus we're taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970, back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I got to go back and look at our show archives here because, man, I've been so honored to have Charlie Kirk on the show, to get to meet Charlie Kirk in person, to see Charlie Kirk in action and his campus clash at Montana State University. But, man, Braxton Mitchell, I remember this. I remember talking about it on the radio at the time. I can't remember if we had you as a guest on the radio show at the time or not, but, you know, all these phony pro-gun control Democrat front groups across the state of Montana were staging these walkouts in schools supporting their gun control agenda. And the liberal media mob was just propping up these gun control marches all across the state. But the reality was that the majority of students were not supporting this anti-Second Amendment agenda. And then students like you, as a high school student in Columbia Falls, Falls at the time, started standing up in support of our constitutional rights. That was probably, what, 10 years ago or seven or eight years ago now, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it was 2018. It was just after the Parkland shooting. There was a national group, March for Our Lives, that was trying to get students all across the country to walk out of class, to, one, support the victims who lost their lives in that horrible shooting. But the biggest part about that was to walk out against the Second Amendment. And so I told a bunch of my buddies after the school was pretty much endorsing the walkout. I told my buddies, I said, hey, listen, we're pro-gun. Let's take a stance here. Let's say, hey, listen, let's support the victims who lost their lives in that horrible shooting. But let's also support the Second Amendment. We all grew up, you know, in Columbia Falls. There was rural parts of the Flathead back when it was a little more rural than it is nowadays. But we all grew up hunting, you know, we all grew up around firearms, and we we're responsible gunners, you know, and it's not the gun that kills people. It's the person behind the gun. And, you know, 99.9999% of gun owners are law abiding Americans. And so that's why we stood up, and a lot of that I'd accredit to was, you know, was seeing Charlie go to these campuses and whatnot, stand up, speak his mind. And, you know, early in that time, Ben Shapiro as well. And, we had our own school administrators and school teachers that were online actively, you know, going against us, you know, calling us some vulgar names, kind of like what we're seeing right now with, you know, teachers and other folks across the country that are, you know, mocking Charlie's death, but no comparison, obviously, to what they were saying about us. But it just shows, that this is more important than ever that we have to speak our mind, and that youth in our country, you know, get out, speak their mind. And that's what Charlie was all about, and that's what he died fighting for.
That's right. And I know he was scheduled to be back in Montana October 7th, of course, the anniversary of the terrorist attacks in Israel. That event will still go on. Erica Kirk, his wife, spoke in a powerful message on Friday night that they will continue to charge forward, and these events will be even bigger than they were before. Let's sneak in a caller here, 406-294-0970, the number for you. We've got Christy in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Christy, did you have a quick question or comment?
I have a comment. I used to live in California, so I still get posts from friends there, and there is a public DA down near Billings, Nicole Gallagher-Kiner, who's posted horrible things about Charlie Kirk and that he deserved to die.
I saw that the Montana Sentinel is doing great reporting, and they outlined, I think on Friday I shared it on X, but they outlined a series of even some public employees who are cheering on this assassination of Charlie Kirk. And Representative Braxton Mitchell, I think that particular case, I know libs of TikTok mentioned that particular case. I still need to do a lot of vetting on all of these specific instances myself. But as I understand it, she may be a former public defender. But nonetheless, with regard to, we're seeing a lot of these instances across Montana where these people, even sometimes public employees, are cheering on the murder of Charlie Kirk. And Adam Hertz, former Missoula City Council, former state rep, he made a point. He's like, you people who are cheering on his death because of what he believes, you're basically saying that I should be killed because of what I believe as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing this all across the country. We're seeing a lot of folks that are making some, you know, very disturbing comments, you know, in light of what happened to Charlie. And, you know, I think what we need to do is reach out to the employers of these individuals, you know, whether they're state employees, you know, whether in the private sector. We need to reach out to these employees and say, hey, is this a reflection, you know, at the end of the day, is this a reflection of these employers and their businesses? And it's just sick to see what's going on. I can't even read half the stuff there. I mean, it's just disturbing. It just shows how radicalized, you know, the American left has become in recent years. And I think they're really going to find out in the 2026 midterms in light of what's happened here.
Well, and I totally think these, if there's any public employees, look, you have free speech rights. Nobody's saying you don't have free speech rights, but what you say still has consequences and should have consequences. And when you are endorsing the public assassination and murder of somebody with just because of their different beliefs, you do not have the mental capacity you are a psychopath who should not be employed by the state of Montana or anybody else in any capacity. Like, there needs to be accountability, if you ask me.
I agree 100%. There was a bill in 2023 that was signed into law that basically it protects individuals using free speech rights on social media platforms. It was signed into law and says that you cannot be terminated by your employer for a legal social media post. But I do believe there was a provision in there, you know, unless, you know, that employer, you know, has provisions and whatnot about, you know, what they can and can't say as, you know, employees and whatnot, you know, as a reflection of their business and whatnot. But I know we'd have to look into that statute, you know, read exactly what's in there. But again, I think that, that there needs to be some accountability. Again, we can't be setting this tone in this country. It's only going to further divide us. You know, there's a lot of differences in our country. I know we're pretty politically divided, but at the end of the day, left or right, I know it's definitely on the left a lot more, but left or right, you know, we can't be solving or trying to solve, you know, our differences by murdering or assaulting or, you know, violently going after, you know, individuals whom you disagree with.
That's right.
I mean, we're setting it.
Well
setting
said.
It
hold that thought.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Not only are we taking your calls, but you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see, we got this. Where did it go? Here it is. Okay, this one came in. She goes by the name Trigo Cat. In Trigo, Montana, she says this, as devastated as I was by seeing Charlie murdered and disgusted by liberal comments on X, I am more encouraged by seeing the reach and response his life had. I remember him from the Breitbart and Tea Party days. I had no idea how much his influence had grown. The vigils are beautiful. And we will carry the torch now. Trigo Cat, thank you for that message. Let's go to Tim in Billings next up on the phone lines, and we'll get to every single one of you callers out there. So thanks for patiently waiting with us here. Tim, I know you've got kids, and I know you've got kids and a daughter in particular that's been outspoken about her faith and outspoken about her faith in high school and on the high school campus. So thanks so much for calling in. What do you want to share with our listeners this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. So Mr. Mitchell mentioned at the end of the last segment about how, or the last hour, about how, you know, he had been in contact with a lot of people that were in college that were, you know, even more reinvigorated over, you know, their support of conservative ideals and Christian ideas and being Christians. And I, contrary to what some people may think, I do not push my political beliefs on my kids. I tell them what I think. I tell them they need to figure it out for themselves. And I tell them why I think what I do, but I want them to come to their own conclusion. I asked all of my children, what do you think about what happened to Charlie Kirk? My youngest, she's still a little, she's not nearly involved with seeing any of this stuff. She knew who he was slightly, but she thinks the fact that he got killed for speaking his voice was horrible. My oldest obviously is very upset because he is a Christian leader and she looked up to him, and you know, she's very upset. And my son has always kind of been more quiet, and I asked him what he thought of it, and he said, you know what, Dad, I think it's terrible. He said, and I think that this is my generation's Martin Luther King Jr. moment. He said, I think that it's going to change a lot of people's minds and open their eyes to how evil some people can be and how good a lot of other people are. And I think that's my best takeaway from all of this, is that people who are young, he's a sophomore in high school, people who are young and are going to be wiping our rear ends when we're in a nursing home. They're seeing this, and it is changing their worldview or solidifying it one way or the other. But I think the people who see the world as a place of betterment and a place of good and a place of love, I think there's more of them and I think they'll win out. And I think that's
You know what, Tim? You're a good man, Tim. You're a good man. I know that. I've gotten to meet you in person. But I'll tell you what, this next generation is far greater than you or I. I am so optimistic about this generation of young people that are rising through the ranks right now. I mean, Charlie Kirk was symbolic of that. It's like I said it last week. I said, I wish I was as smart as him. I wish I was as good of a thinker, as good of a speaker as he is. I wish I was as good of a follower of Christ as Charlie Kirk has been at such a young age. And that's what Charlie Kirk and these millions more Charlie Kirks are, and why I'm so optimistic about the future of this country as we approach our 250th birthday. Representative Braxton Mitchell, you quickly became a Turning Point USA ambassador right out of high school. Your thoughts on what Tim and Billings had to say and the reaction from young people, because, you know, there's older folks who were deeply distraught by the loss of Charlie Kirk, but that pales in comparison to what their kids and their grandkids felt and continue to feel.
Yeah, Tim, you know, what you said there, you know, what we've seen, you know, over the past week is, you know, we've seen a lot of the worst in people, but I think what hasn't been highlighted is what we've seen is the best in people. And, you know, the amount of people that are showing up at these vigils. I had two friends of mine, two gals, they texted me yesterday, two different of them texted me yesterday. It's the first time they've ever gone to church in their lives. I mean, I think this is really changing a lot of people. I know churches across the country were flooded out the doors. Again, there's just a revival happening, I think, in this country in light of what happened. And again, I think, you know, again, we've seen the worst of people. We've seen the messages. We've seen what people are posting out. But I think in light of this, it's actually going to, you know, show the betterment and what good is still left in our country.
Yeah, what you said about seeing a revival, I totally think that's what's happening. I think that's the real reason Charlie Kirk was taken out by this trans-tifa, transgender assassin. Now, he wasn't transgender, but his lover apparently was transgender, but that's clearly what inspired this trans-tifa terrorist attack last week based off of what we're seeing with the suspect right now and the more that we are learning. But, you know, it's interesting as Tim and Billings was talking and he talked about his son's reaction was look, this was our day. For our day and age, this was a Martin Luther King. Or last week I talked about this was the loss of a Kennedy that some of our older generation listeners had. This is like the loss of a Kennedy for our generation. Charlie Kirk is a civil rights icon who fought for America's foundational principles of freedom and fought back against the racism that is being allowed in America by so many today. But as I thought about that, it was so incredible. On Thursday night, I was able to go to the 9/11 memorial ceremony at Rose Park in Missoula that our friend Susan called in about on Thursday morning. And guess who was there? All the way from Great Falls, Norma Ashby Smith was there. And she was somebody I thought of because she was there when John F. Kennedy came to Great Falls. And so she lived through that assassination. And I know she cares so deeply for Charlie Kirk as well. So it was so incredible to see Norma and Dwight at that event on Thursday night as well. Speaking of Susan in Missoula, I think she'll be with us on the phone lines here in just a second. First, though, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I want to say that, yes, as a Woodstock generation, I lived through all those horrible, traumatic assassinations. And Charlie Kirk, it really hit me pretty hard. And all I can say is we know that there's organized crime in this country. George Soros is behind a lot of it. Our president is going to use RICO. RICO is a federal law that was established in 1970 against organized crime. This is how our government got the mafia under control. And I just hope, you know, I can say this. I just hope it's not too late, because this should have been done decades ago. Even when I was young, this should have been done. George Soros should have been stopped a long, long time ago. And if you're noticing, after the tragic, traumatic assassination of Charlie Kirk, immediately, you can call them right-wing or Republicans, they held vigils. I call them true, real Americans. when George Floyd died, we had BLM, we had riots in our street, Antifa shooting and killing people, destroying other people's property. So this is a big difference.
Yeah, great point. What a difference it is. And I think that difference should be abundantly obvious to anybody. That's why I shared a great piece from thefederalist.com earlier this morning. Let me just give you the headline in the interest of time here, because we've got so many great callers on the line, and of course Representative Braxton Mitchell as well. But this is the headline from thefederalist.com. After Charlie Kirk's murder, there can be no more both sides-ism. Quote, it is beyond obvious that violent extremism is a spiritual outgrowth of the left's desire for chaos and agitation. It is descended from the left-wing terrorism of the 70s. That's at thefederalist.com. All right. Before we get to our next caller, actually, let's sneak in one more call here, and then I'll get reaction from Braxton Mitchell. Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what did you want to share? Thanks for the call.
Okay. Last week, about Wednesday, I was listening to a program, and they were saying about how the talking on the right is just as bad as the talking on the left. Now, his next guest was a Democrat who was going to be running for the state senate in their state, not here, but a different state. And he was saying that 3 months ago, a liberal was shot and shot. But to be commensurate with what's going on, it would have to be a prominent liberal and shot by a conservative or a Republican. And I don't see it.
Yeah, you're always going to see these crazies, left, right, whatever, right. But what we're seeing, as Nancy pointed out, is widespread and apparently Soros-funded radical, violent, domestic terrorism across the country, similar to like the 70s extremism that the Federalist referenced. All right, Lee, thanks for the call. Representative Braxton Mitchell, greatly appreciate your time this morning. I'll get to more callers coming up after the break. But Representative Mitchell, what else do you want to tell folks all across Montana here with about a minute or so to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think your second to last caller there made a good point. You know, when George Floyd died of the fentanyl overdose, I know some people say he died of the constraint, but you know what happened there is we saw people across the country that were rioting, they were looting, they were burning, they were shooting people in the streets, attacking police officers. When Charlie Kirk died, you know, we saw people that, you know, instead they turned out and they prayed and they held these vigils, and, you know, people were trying to come together. You know, it just shows the, you know, complete differences between, you know, the left and the right now in America. And again, as I stated earlier in the show, and I'm sure you mentioned, you probably stated in the past couple of days in light of what happened to Charlie, that, you know, we can solve our differences. We should solve our differences through debate. And that's exactly what Charlie, you know, died doing. You know, the one thing, I remember the bullet on the casing of the bullet that was shot there, you know, the guy said that to fight fascism. You know, Charlie was doing the opposite of fighting Charlie was doing that. He was fighting fascism. You know, a guy would never let, fascists would never let, their opponents speak their mind and you know, say things that depict their message. So, you know, we got to keep Charlie's legacy going. He's a great American.
Well said.
I just had the pleasure. Yeah.
Well said. Representative Mitchell, great to have you on the show. Got to hold it there. Stand
by. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, along with Senator Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy and Congressman Ryan Zinke and Troy Downing, have sent a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum urging the Department of Interior to uphold laws governing grazing permits. The letter stresses concerns over the Bureau of Land Management's decision to allow American Prairie, formerly known as American Prairie Reserve or APR, to convert cattle grazing permits into bison permits on federal lands in eastern Montana. Back in 2022, the state of Montana, ranchers and ranch groups like the Montana Stock Growers appealed the decision, warning it would remove large areas from production agriculture, threaten the livelihoods of farm and ranch families, and set a precedent that impacts all public lands ranchers across the West. The letter argues American Prairie's plan to rewild land with free-roaming bison would have irreversible economic and cultural impacts on rural communities. In 2022, the state of Montana, grazing districts and ag groups like the Montana Stock Growers appealed the Biden administration's decision to grant a change from cattle to bison grazing on BLM allotments in eastern Montana. They argued the Biden administration violated federal laws, including the Taylor Grazing Act and NEPA, in doing so. That's a look at today's Ag News headlines. Thanks for joining us. I'm Lee Northland. Have a great day, everyone.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Northland. You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we are going to have Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation on with us here in just a couple of minutes. He's got some big news that he wants to share with the entire state of Montana, and this is very interesting news, very big news. So we'll get to that. Plus, of course, I saw the Montana Family Foundation was also a big promoter of the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life at the Montana Capitol. I think 500 people showed up for that event, as I saw reported by the Montana Sentinel. So look forward to catching up with our friend Jeff Lasloffy here in a second. But first, we've got a couple callers on the line that we weren't able to get to before that last break, starting with our friend Susan in Missoula. Susan, your phone call this morning, so timely, of course, you know, talking about the Celebration of Life. What an incredible 9/11 memorial ceremony you helped put together Thursday night. It was so great to see you and so many American patriots there.
It was, and you're right. I had you ringing the bell, not as a radio personality, but as someone who has served so many years in the United States Army. And I really appreciate you, and I appreciate your sacrifice, because you went overseas to the Middle East and did all kinds of things that none of us know anything about, but we really appreciate you. And but that is not why I called. Charlie Kirk and I worked on a few things together with a bunch of other people, and I also met him several times when I was at the Republican National Committee. In fact, we got to joking. We've got a quick meeting like this. He is such a lovely, lovely young man, and I agree with you, Aaron. The new generation of people are wonderful. I have worked with, I don't know what they're called now. Is that Gen X, or what's the youngest?
I think, Gen X is the generation that Charlie has specifically spoken to that has made a notable shift back towards American foundational principles. So, Is it Gen Z? Hold on. Now I got to go look at my transcript. Anyway, point whatever. Accepted. Right. Yeah. Whatever generation they call it. Yeah.
But they are, I mean, they are the most religious. I will tell you, I'm a baby boomer, and I am disgusted with my generation. And, of course, we had celebrations of Charlie Kirk's death in Missoula. So you would expect that. We could never publicly have a demonstration of love for Charlie Kirk in Missoula because of the people that are here. 70% of them are ultra-liberal voters. And so it's really lonely being a conservative in Missoula.
Well, they did have a great celebration of life on the UM campus on Friday night, and I wasn't able to attend. I had a kids' football game that same night, but I know that a great turnout. Hundreds turned out for that, apparently, as Braxton Mitchell was telling me, and including many of the football players and the student athletes. Big support amongst the student athlete population. Yeah, Susan, thanks again for putting that on. Great to hear from you. Man, so many people got to meet Charlie Kirk because that's who he was. He was out there with the people and amongst the people. All right, let me sneak on one more caller, and then maybe before we wrap up the hour, we can get to more of you. Let's see, is Francis in Big Fork still on the phone lines there if you want to send her our way? Caden, here we go. Yeah, Francis in Big Fork, what did you want to share this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I just wanted to share that we got to fight hate with love.
Great point. that's, well, I guess nothing else to say after that, right?
Well, yes, I do have one other thing. I want to say I love you guys.
Well, we love you as well.
You know? And I think we should go out and hug a person when we get off the air.
Well, that sounds great. All right. Well, Francis, we love you as well. Thanks so much for calling in. Always appreciated. Let's turn now to our friend Jeff Lai. Man, there's a bunch more stuff that I want to share and talk about, but let's jump right into it. We've got our friend Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation with us on the phone lines right now. Jeff, just the one thing I wanted to throw out real quick with regard to Francis's message is, It'd be so easy to hate the people that are speaking out and cheering on the assassination of somebody like Charlie Kirk or the assassination of anybody. It would be so easy to hate them, but yet we're called to love even them, or we're called to pray for even them. I heard a pastor in Kalispell over the weekend talk about how Paul, when he was still Saul, stood there and cheered the first Christian martyr, and yet look at the turnaround he had in life, right? And so I thought that was such an incredibly powerful reminder to pray not only for them, but to pray for the dad of this shooting suspect who turned in his own son and so much more.
Yeah, and, you know, to take that one step further, that same passage, you're actually talking about Stephen when he was martyred. And while he was being stoned, he was forgiving the people that were stoning him. And that was the example for Paul, and then Paul eventually came to Christ. But that's a perfect example. Yeah, we're not supposed to hate people, but at the same time, I think that we've forgotten what civil discourse looks like in the United States. And the problem with debating some of the people that we debate on a regular basis is that they equate disagreement with hate. If you disagree with me, you automatically hate me, and that's just not true. But that's the premise that they operate under, and it makes civil discourse difficult.
And they think that because they disagree with you, that they're justified in ending your life. Yeah, I had that exact same. I was at one of your Montana Family Foundation banquets, and Kristen Wagner was the speaker at the time. My wife now works for the Alliance Defending Freedom, and Kristen Wagner is their CEO. But yeah, at your Montana Family Foundation banquet, she said that line: "Hate does not equal disagreement." But yet there are people out there thinking that because they disagree with Charlie Kirk, because they disagree with Jeff Laszloffy, because they disagree with us, that justifies them killing you.
Yeah, and the problem is they're getting a lot of that from their adult, the adults in their lives. In a lot of cases, those are university professors and you know, people along those lines, people on the left, politicians. We even see liberal politicians back in Washington, D.C. and at the state level. So, you know, the little kids the young adults are simply parroting what they're hearing the adults in the conversation say.
Jeff, we got to get to the big news that we wanted to get you on the show for here this morning. And so look, from what I'm hearing, there are still some schools out there that are allowing boys into the girls' bathrooms. I don't know what's happening on the sports front, but what are you hearing out there? And then give us the news, because oddly enough, sadly, this ties in here, because this was yet another radicalized trans-tifa shooter here. The support for the radical transgender agenda is what they're saying inspired this assassin.
Yeah, so we actually have good news this morning, both for parents and for many school administrators in Montana out there. For the last few years, we've received complaints from parents about boys and girls locker rooms, boys and girls showers. In one case up near you in northwestern Montana, a boy that was forced to spend the night in the same room with a girl who identified as a boy on a field trip. And when these parents called us and complained, our legal staff reached out to the schools. And in some cases, the administrators were sympathetic, but they said their hands were tied because of the rules in the Biden administration dealing with Title IX. In other cases, there were administrators that loved this policy and were simply using the Biden administration rules to act as cover. So what we're doing today is we're informing the schools that the Trump administration has changed the definitions of sex discrimination and reestablished the original meaning of sex in Title IX to mean biological sex and not gender identity. And that has huge ramifications for us here in Montana. They then went a step further, and they created task forces within the Departments of Justice, Education, and Health and Human Services to investigate non-compliant schools and defund those schools in terms of federal dollars that are not compliant and that are still pushing this woke agenda. So far, they've penalized five schools in Virginia and five school districts in Virginia, and then also the Denver School District, and there are ongoing investigations in school districts throughout the United States. So we want your listeners to understand that the rules of the game have changed and the message is clear. If you in any way push this woke agenda, this gender identity agenda, then you'll lose your federal funding. And this is really good policy for several reasons. First, it protects the health and safety of students. Boys should not be allowed into girls' restrooms, locker rooms, or showers. They should also never be allowed to compete on girls' sports teams. And all of this, Aaron, is now illegal under the new federal guidelines.
So every single one of these folks, every single one of these schools should be on notice right now. And then every single one of the parents and teachers and everybody should also be on notice to keep an eye out for this and to know how and where to report it. Jeff Laslofsky, hold that thought. Back here in 2 minutes.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got to one of the three there with Jeff Laslofsky from the Montana Family Foundation before the break. Jeff, you know, the big picture here is, look, if there's a family member out there, if there's a parent who is saying, okay, our little girl just went to school, and while she was in the bathroom, a boy walked in there. Why is this happening in Montana right now? Isn't there a law to prevent this from happening? Yes, there is, and that's why you're speaking out, so that parents and administrators and teachers and everybody gets the word out, right?
Yeah, that's a story that we hear far too often in our offices. So the other thing that this does is it gives parents and right-thinking school administrators the ability to push back against these woke gender identity politics. And then another thing that it does is it does an end run around Montana's liberal judges like Vannetta, especially those in Missoula, who repeatedly nullify attempts by the legislature and the governor to pass protections along these lines. So we're asking everyone out there to do two things. First of all, download this letter from our website at montanafamily.org and read it. Make sure your school administrators, your child's teacher, make sure that they're aware of these. And if you see any of this going on in the school, we want you to call our offices. Our legal team is ready, and now they've got the ammunition they need to call the schools. First of all, make sure that the schools understand the current policy, because some may not. And then second of all, to say if you're not willing to change and come into compliance with the current policy, then they're going to take those school district names and pass them on to these federal task forces and let the federal government figure out what to do in terms of compliance and funding.
Yeah, and this is huge because, look, there's a lot of great professionals in our schools, teachers and administrators who are just as sickened by this radical woke agenda as you and I are, but they get intimidated, they get bullied, the woke left-wing mob and, you know, other activists will do everything they can to try to shove this agenda down their throats. Well, now they can say, look, our hands are tied. The law is the law. Here you go. Here it is. So go talk to somebody else.
Right. And we don't want it. And they don't want to lose federal funding.
Yeah. Yeah, we will lose federal funding if we don't carry forward with this. You know, isn't it interesting, too, Jeff, the same people who are like, well, shut up and wear your masks because the law is the law, right? Even though it was unconstitutional and even sheriffs in Montana stood up and said you can't force that on people. Those same people don't want to say the law is the law right on this one.
Yeah, and we heard that repeatedly in the legislature. You know, we don't want to pass protections for kids or keep boys off girls' sports teams because the NC2A says we might lose our standing or we might lose funding. Well, the shoe's on the other foot now, and they will, because we already have school districts in Virginia and Denver that have, And the feds are investigating other school districts as well. So this isn't just a, this isn't just a fake threat. This is real policy and a real chance to lose funding if they don't come into compliance.
Jeff Lasloff with the Montana Family Foundation. Appreciate your call this morning. Anything we missed?
No, and I'd just like to add my two cents in terms of Charlie Kirk. Charlie was a great friend. He did events for the Montana Family Foundation. And the final thing I guess I'd say is my best memory of Charlie Kirk was sitting in a coffee shop in Bozeman for a couple hours one afternoon when he decided that he was going to sample every one of their gluten-free desserts because he was gluten intolerant and this place specialized in gluten-free. And so I sat there and watched Charlie think that he'd hit the jackpot in terms of desserts while he tried every single one of them.
You could just see the big smile on his face while he did it. He was a joyful warrior. How did he stay so stinking skinny trying all those desserts? Because just because they're gluten-free doesn't...
Yeah, he ran, and that's what he said. He said, I have to run so that I can eat.
Oh, man, that's great. Let me send a quick... Hey, Caden, our producer, if you can, I sent you a note, but you may not have seen it. Send Norma and Dwight. Okay, they're coming down right now. All right, Jeff Lasloff, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's see if we can sneak them on before we run out of time. Only a couple of minutes to go, but I mentioned running into Norma Ashby Smith and Dwight on a Thursday night at that 9/11 memorial ceremony in Missoula. Hey, thanks to both of you for calling in. What do you want to share with folks across Montana?
Oh, Aaron, great to be with you. Norma and I had a chance to for a gathering about 200 people here in Great Falls in front of the courthouse, in front of the Ten Commandments put on by Marsha Lennox, gathered it together. We had about 10 speakers. Randy Pinocchi was there among great patriots, and we were asked to pray for the family of Charlie Kirk. Eric is so impressive that we just had to pray a cover of enthusiasm and safety for her. Norma made a great comment, and then here's Norma. These events kind of remind her of...
Yes, when JFK came to Great Falls in 1963, I had the opportunity to meet him and talk to him and have a picture with him, and then, of course, he was assassinated 2 months later, and that was the same tragic feeling that we had when he died as we had when Charlie died.
I said it earlier. I said, this is our generations now who weren't there for the Kennedys. This was our... And RFK Jr. even said, you know, his own dad assassinated. He just said, this is the assassination of the truth teller for our era.
Yes, it certainly is.
Oh, Aaron. Well, we rejoice at the feet of Jesus right now, and he has lit a storm of patriotism throughout this country. God bless him.
Yeah.
That's right. Well said. Well, it was so great to see both of you remembering the fallen at that 9/11 ceremony in Missoula at Rose Park on Thursday night as well. And, of course, our good friend Chris Warden, always good to see him, another great American patriot. All right. We're out of time for today. I know we had more callers on the line, but call back in tomorrow because we're definitely going to want to keep taking your phone calls for Tuesday's Montana Talks as well. So best part of the show is getting to hear from you.